You still have one other hurdle to overcome, right? To access U.S. private equity, you need to have a substantial relationship with the operators, right? Well, you have a relationship with me. I have access to these deals. Let's partner together and I can get you in.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Chris Johnson is an American living in Switzerland for the past 15 years. He helps Europeans on their journey to financial independence by educating and making it easy for them to access and invest in U.S. real estate syndications. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam. Pleasure to be here.
Man, I'm excited about this. It's always fun to have, you know, internationals come on the show and talk about what it's like from an international perspective to invest money here in the States. Of course, you're an American living in Switzerland, so it's even one more kind of not wrench in the mix, but it's just a different nuance to it. A lot of times these are internationals are investing here, but you're from here living internationally, investing back here with Europeans. So I'm excited to jump in today. The same basic questions I ask everybody who comes on the show, but before we get into that is, where'd you start? Where are you now? And quickly, how did you get there?
So I started about a decade ago investing in single family homes. I quickly hit the ceiling where I couldn't scale anymore. And everybody's advice was to say, bundle all your loans, put them into a portfolio loan at an extremely high interest rate, and then start again. And I just said, once I put them into the portfolio loan, the numbers don't make sense anymore. Secondly, I saw single family homes not performing the way they looked on paper, right? It's the fallacy we all fall into. I overcame that. I changed my mindset. I got connected with some of the syndication groups and jumped in with both feet. I did that for a number of years, gone through several full deal cycles, and just launched the website to help train, educate all of Europe about what I'm doing and help bring them the same benefits that I've received on it. So that's the story in a nutshell.
Right. That's awesome. So did you take your single family? Have you divested of those holdings then?
All but one. I still hold on to one from an emotional value because it's the first one I had. It performs and it reminds me of where I came from.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think the it performs, you know, line there is probably the most important part. It's still making money. So don't sell the milk cow. I get it.
Absolutely.
I get it, man. That's awesome. So let's talk about then that journey for you. You went in as a limited partner on syndications and really yes. From that side first.
Yep. So I learned as a limited partner, right? Living in Europe, I thought, okay, it's not going to be easy for me to be boots on the ground or to find the deals. It was always an idea that I could help raise the equity and I could do the investor relations. I could do the underwriting, but actually being on the ground, establishing those relationships would have been a harder task. So I went in as a single partner, a limited partner, and just learned the ropes. Followed under the mentorship of some really very good operators, and also realized what I liked and didn't like with regards to communication, transparency, et cetera. I wanted to get experience before I ever spoke to anybody else about those experiences.
Yeah. So you used your own capital out of the gate.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Now that's interesting because that's one of the questions I commonly get from people starting out as a limited partner. They say, well, how do I find competent operators to invest with? And, you know, my answer to them typically is, well, go to events. I mean, go to events, go shake hands, go start talking to people. And I mean, you'll weed it out pretty quick. You'll find out who you know, like, and trust. And, but for you, you were living in Switzerland. How did you do it?
Yeah, I followed your advice, right? I went to events. I sucked it up. I flew overseas. I'm being an American. I have one foot in America and one foot in Europe. So I combined that with coming home to see family. After seeing the family, I went to a couple of events, spoke to people, and then followed that up with a lot of networking once I went back home. So conference calls, Zoom calls, WhatsApp chats, making sure I felt comfortable. I knew I found operators who had the integrity, the experience, the kind of business acumen that I wanted to work.
Right, right. That's interesting. What was the first asset class you invested in?
Multifamily. I started off with, I think it was an 80-unit multifamily, and I stayed with that one and then scaled from there, just went bigger, bigger, and bought more and more.
Right. So do you work a W-2 job? I guess we'd call it W-2, but do you work a full-time job outside of real estate?
Yeah. So I still do that. Yes, I have the W-2 job. And like I said, I just kind of started sharing what my experiences have been with friends and family, with colleagues. And the question I always get from colleagues is, wow, how can I do that too?
Right.
So that's the birth of the whole, or the genesis of the whole White Fire Equity Project.
Let's stay on this personal side for a minute. What's it like for you from a taxation perspective, investing in U.S. real estate, living in Switzerland? Like, do you get double taxed, or what's that? How does that work out?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. There is a tax treaty between the two nations, and there is a expatriate exemption in America for U.S. citizens living abroad. But before I started investing in real estate, I did have a U.S. tax liability. Once I started investing in real estate, both single family, but even more so with multifamily, my tax liability in the U.S. has all but vanished.
How does that work?
So minimal now. So I have some good accountants who take, you know, the depreciation and all the expenses associated typically with real estate that we see on our K-1 statements, and they're able to optimize my tax situation.
Got it. Just like somebody based here. It's the same.
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's really cool. So an expatriate exemption means that you're living abroad, and so then you also aren't getting taxed then in Switzerland because you are being taxed as an American citizen.
No, it allows me to write off about $100,000 income and say anything above $100,000 is going to be taxed, but below you're not going to tax on. So I write off immediately $100,000. Yeah. Then you deduct all the Swiss taxes, all the Swiss expenses, and the remainder is what's subject to U.S. tax. Now that has been a lot in the past years, but then with real estate, it starts to really just wipe that away.
Right. And that's something that I think people commonly overlook, tax benefits in real estate. We've got
absolutely.
I was speaking with someone the other day that said, yeah, you know, and they're a very high net worth individual. Like, well, everything I have is just dividend paying stocks, and that's kind of where I like it. And I'm like, that's fine, but you get zero tax benefit from that, and you're paying tax on every red cent that comes in the door. And yep. You know, even if you sold off and then reinvested in real estate, I mean, the amount of depreciation and then tax write offs you get all the way down the line is pretty astounding.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, people just, I think that's a commonly overlooked thing. So you went in multifamily. Have you invested in other asset classes?
No, I've stayed with multifamily. I think I would be open to exploring some other asset classes, but right now it's what I know, it's proven, it works. And the operators I know are all invested in that asset class. So it's a comfortable place for me.
Right. No, man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So that's
exactly, yeah.
That's awesome. So do you have, I guess, you went into multifamily, then you started to educate your own sphere of influence there on the EU side, or I guess on the Switzerland side. So what has that been like bringing investors along that journey from two perspectives? One, just from a overcoming the distance hurdle, I guess I'll call it, where people said, man, that's a different country. I don't understand what we're buying. I can't go see, taste, touch, and feel it because I'd fly overseas and that sounds risky. So from that perspective, and then also just from a legal compliance standpoint.
Well, you named it, Sam. There are two hurdles that had to be overcome. One was awareness, understanding, fear factor. And the other was the legal. On the awareness, fear, understanding factor, a lot of that has been taken care of through blog articles, through writing the ebooks, but even more so through conversations. Switzerland, Europe is very much about personal connections, the network, the trust and integrity of the person. So it's really spending time with the people who are interested and sitting down, having conversations about that. The facts are clear. We all have seen the benefits of it. So raising that awareness has been through sharing my story with others. And then they get interested, and then I spend the time explaining it, answering all the questions. On the legal side, I've worked with, and this has taken some time, but I've worked with some good lawyers and accountants to figure out an easy way to make it possible for Europeans to do this. And now what we're doing this week while I'm here in the States is we're putting together kind of a white glove turnkey solution that makes it possible for Europeans to sign a couple documents and have everything set up from them, everything from their U.S. tax ID to their companies, to their bank accounts, so that within a few weeks of effort or a few weeks after signing, they have everything ready to invest.
That's really cool. So yeah, let's walk through that white glove service, because I kind of want to hear the mechanics of how you've compiled those resources to make that possible.
Sure. So the two key roles you have would be the lawyer and the CPA. And you can imagine from a European perspective, the States is a long ways away. They say, okay, well, what are the different forms of businesses I should be considering, right? What's this S corp mean? What does the C corp mean? I don't understand this, right? Which state? You have 50 states. Where should I be locating, right? I don't understand your tax laws. How should I be doing this? And that turned into a lot of conversations. So actually, I sat down with the lawyer and the accountant and said, okay, let's optimize this from a foreign or non-resident perspective. Hmm. What would we recommend? Secondly, let's think of estate taxes, right? So for non-residents who have substantial investments in America, there are estate taxes. Now, those are very different for U.S. residents versus foreign residents. As a U.S. resident, we can write off $1 million of estate taxes before we're taxed on that. As a non-resident, only the first $60,000 is exempt from estate taxes. Wow. So any foreigner who's investing in America needs to really have the right team behind them to really think through how do you structure this properly. And so that's what I've set up, is that service that'll say, we've already pre-selected the state for you. Here's why. This is the way your bank account works. Here's why we would go with this bank account. These are the forms you need to sign. This is what you get in year one services, right? And every year after that, we take care of your registered agent services. We take care of your IRS filings. We take care of your state filings with your company, your state taxes, should those be applicable, the registration and the states, et cetera.
That's really fascinating. So what you are essentially doing is having each client set up their own LLC or whatever it is, whatever form of entity they choose, that then they invest via that company into whatever asset passively they wish to invest in.
Yes. Yeah. Every foreign investor would become a U.S. entity, right? Because from a operator's perspective or a partnership perspective, most people don't want to deal with withholding taxes and the obligations of foreign reporting.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. From a operator standpoint, it's far easier to take money domestically than internationally. And
absolutely.
If I have to choose between your 100 grand internationally and another 100 grand, domestically, I'm going to pick the domestic and say thanks.
Yeah. It's easier to bank, right? To send money from the U.S. overseas, you'd have to do wire transfers, et cetera. There's different banking standards. So we've set that up so it's much easier for non-residents to invest in America, take care of banking, taxes, legal structures, et cetera.
That's awesome. I guess there's many thoughts with that. One is that your white glove service could obviously be something that gets handed off to a lot of different syndicators. So once you get this really, streamlined, this product can apply to syndicators across the U.S. that could come to Chris and say, hey, man, I got international people, help them get it. So that's cool on the first front, building a business that is obviously a necessary part of it's just something that's missing, I think, here. Mm. And secondly, I guess here's a question that follows up with that is, do you use that? How do you, or if, let me see if I can find the right question. Do you use that model to package your own syndications and invest? If you said, hey, Sam, I've got this great investment and I want 20 investors to get in on this investment from Switzerland. How does that work?
Excellent question. And that's exactly what I moved into recently, is now saying, I've been a passive investor. My colleagues are interested in investing in the U.S. How can I make that possible? So that's where I've said, here's the white glove service that will help you do that. And actually, you still have one other hurdle to overcome, right? To access U.S. private equity, you need to have a substantial relationship with the operators, right? Well, you have a relationship with me. I have access to these deals. Let's partner together and I can get you in. So we are creating a fund that will raise equity from Europe and deploy that capital into U.S. syndications.
Got it. So you, let me just make sure I understand this. Your investors then put money into the company, we'll call it an LLC, whatever it is, here in the US, and then they invest that money into your fund that is based in the US.
Yes. Yeah.
Got it. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Awesome. What's it been like? Like, what's it been like on the capital raise side? Has that been a tough journey? Has that been something that, you know, now that the ball is rolling, it's become much easier? Walk us through that a little bit.
You know, I think it started off as a tough journey. And I think it's the same journey all equity raisers, investors in the US go through as well.
Sure.
Building your network, building the awareness, building the messaging, the confidence in you that you know what you're doing. The US, the Europeans, certainly I've had some additional hurdles to overcome in that journey. But I think for the large part, we have started to crack that nut. There is a strong interest. What I feel is people are going to test the waters before they really jump in, just like I did with my own investments, right? I started off with 5 or 6 private limited partnership syndications, saw that it works, and I grew it. I feel that's what's happening now in terms of this. There is a very strong FIRE movement, right? Financial independence, early retirement throughout Europe, but very much focused on, okay, invest into equities, invest into index funds, and wait until you have 25x your annual expenses. So I'm actually working with them to help raise the awareness to say real estate is the rocket fuel to your FIRE journey. And I see in the next years, it's going to accelerate. And now that we've figured out how to crack the nut for enabling the Europeans to invest, and I have that white glove service, I think we'll see a lot more European equity coming over into markets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You've removed many of the hurdles along the way. You know, I think you have a case study that you have put out.
Yes.
Tell me the title of that case study again. I've forgotten.
So it's a case study of an ebook that I put together looking at one of my investments, one of my syndications, and how it performed during the Black Swan event of COVID, right? One of the questions I continue to get almost on a daily basis is, you know, in the US, you had this mortgage crisis in 2008. How many apartments were foreclosed upon? What do you think is going to happen in the future, right? You know, we see inflation happening. Are you concerned? Are you worried? And I say, no, I'm not. And here's why. The facts are there. During 2008, I think we had 0.6% foreclosure on apartments. And I share my case study, which shows how did one of my investments perform during COVID, right? During the Black Swan event with all the unemployment and everything else. I share complete transparency in my numbers, in my bank statements, and show that actually, in terms of investments, I personally feel multifamily syndications to be one of the safest investments. So this is a case study that looks at Milagro Apartments based in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. It's available for anybody to get off my website. Go to whitefireequity.com/case study.
That's awesome. Very good. I look forward. I'm actually going to look at that myself because I think those are always fascinating questions that, you know, to ask and you know, do the research on. I look forward to seeing your data that backs up your conclusions there. Chris, let's jump here into the final four questions. The first question is this: if I were to give you $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
Sam, I would invest in education. I would invest in learning about multifamily and syndication, how I can contribute, how I can get involved in that. With $20,000, I guess you'd start small, but education would go a long way. I would have skipped single family and gone right to the big plays.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a common theme here on this show. A common theme. That's awesome. I love that. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Skip single family, go straight to multifamily. You will hit the glass ceiling extremely quickly with single family. Secondly, the numbers don't perform as they look on paper. Multifamily continues to exceed my expectations.
That's fantastic. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one way you are making the world a better place?
Right now, I'm focused on helping Europe to understand how they can achieve financial independence earlier through multifamily syndication. I found the When you find a process that's proven you can achieve your independence, you see that horizon of being quickly approaching, it just opens up a genuine gratitude in how you live, appreciation for others. And I want to make sure more and more people get out of the frustration of the rat race and see, you know, you can live a different way. You can be your true self, be grateful, genuine, kind person through being free.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Chris, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Best way is contact me on whitefireequity.com. We're burning with white hot fire to be financially free.
Awesome. Chris, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Sam. All the best.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.